Good morning. Chodesh Tov. Also, Chodesh, Rosh Chodesh Sivan is a very important time. As we all know, the Shalah Kadosh speaks about tefillot for the success of your children around this time. We all know that we're counting up to Shavuot, Kabbalat HaTorah, which is really already just a few days off. As we all know, we can't, give over the counting necessarily, even though it's really the morning. And what I'd like to do today is speak about Yehuda and Tamar, Boaz and Ruth, David and Abigail, the road to leadership and Malchut. And I picked this topic, number one, because it is Shavuot, and Megillat Ruth plays a very important role in Shavuot. The idea of David HaMelech, the idea of continuity, the idea of Malchut, the idea of responsibility, the idea of taking stock, and the idea of and every important crossroads in Jewish history, especially when we talk about leadership, continuity, we find that the women play a very important role. And that's why it's very important to us that on Shavuot, when we're talking about Kabbalat HaTorah, we do read Megillat Ruth, the importance of the actions of Ruth, one individual who really transforms, in a sense, the continuity and the focus of Am Yisrael, in a sense, from an inner focus to an outer focus. And this really takes place within a context and within a framework, as we'll see that this happens many times in Tanakh. Right? When you're a novelist or you're a speaker, you have two choices. Either you're going to give your speech and all little surprises will come along the way and you won't give your thesis right off the bat, or, you know, some of those novels, it tells you who done it and who killed who right in the beginning. And the fun is really to see all the details and how do you see this in the language or what happened. So that's what we're going to do today. Pretty much I'm telling you one of my main theses for today, which is that in all the major crossroads in Am Yisrael, when we have to do with leadership, right, we find that the women really play a very important role in changing the direction and making those kind of decisions. What we're going to do is we're going to see it in all these three couples that we have in Tanakh, but truly I could do this for another 20. But I just picked these three for today, especially because I want to do the theme of Shevet Yehuda, the idea of leadership with David and with the concept of Shevet Yehuda. Also, why did I pick it for Shavuot, and why are we doing Megillat Ruth, also connected with Shavuot? Because as we all know with Kabbalat HaTorah, Kotomar lebet Yaakov v'taged libnei Yisrael. Who are told about Kabbalat HaTorah first? Who do we want to make sure that really heard about Kabbalat HaTorah first? And that is the Nashim, which means you want to make sure the Nashim have it down pat. They know what's going on because their influence is really very important. And we're going to see that that's very true in Tanakh. And what's very fascinating is one of the first most influential women in Tanakh is clearly Chava. And what does she tell Adam to do? She tells him to eat from Etz Hadat. So what would you think the rest of Tanakh would be all about? Never listen to the women and never listen to your wife. So it's a very interesting midrash about Kotamar lebet Yaakov v'taged libnei Yisrael. It's a double entendre. On the one hand, the women are so important, their influence is so important, you have to tell them first. On the other hand, just look what happened with Chava when Hashem told Adam not to eat from Etz Hadat and didn't tell Chava first. So this is a very good cautionary tale. But we're going to use it in the second way, which means what is really the theme throughout Sefer Breshit? Kol asher tomar elecha sarah, shma bekola. All throughout Sefer Breshit, it's always about listening to the wife, listening to the wife. But what we're going to do is really a little more subtle than that. What we're going to be doing today is see how do the women really play this important role. But we're not only going to speak about the women, mostly we're also going to speak about the men, which means what is it about leadership? What makes a leader? Is it raw talent? Is it charisma? Is it your yichus? Is it your experience? Can a leader make mistakes? So really, we are going to analyze leadership really in general, and we're also going to stick in to see how in these leadership situations do individuals play a role in trying to turn the tide in the direction where this leader is really going. So that's really what we're going to do today. What we're going to see in Tanakh is that most leaders have a crisis. Most leaders go through a crisis in their experience, and the way they deal with this crisis really depends on who's influencing them, but also it has full impact on what is going to be their future as a leader, or is this going to be the fatal mistake. Some leaders make mistakes and they can get out of it, and some leaders make mistakes that they can't get out of it. And that's really what we're going to see today. We're going to see the idea of leadership, crisis, personality, what really makes a leader, and how does Tanakh write about it? Which means when Tanakh is giving over the story, what is it telling you about it? What about the language? What about how it develops the characters that it wants you to understand? What is the message from these individuals? Also, what we're going to see, in addition, we're going to see what is the message of Parshanut and Chazal to these leaders, to these events. What do they want to say about these, I guess, events and these mistakes or these situations that you really have to carry with yourself out of your study of Tanakh? So those are the things that we're going to do today. And because we have a huge lineup today, so we are going to zoom through some of these things to make sure that we really finish all of the sources. So we're starting with Rut Perek Aleph, right? First one of your sources. Again, I'm starting with Rut, and since I'm telling you what I'm going to do, so we're going back to Sefer Bereshit, then we're going to go ahead to David. So we're starting with the middle, and then we're going to go to the beginning, and then we're going to go to the end. So in Rut Perek Aleph, Rut really begins during the time of the Shoftim. What do we know about the Shoftim? Ein melech b'Yisrael, ish hayashar be'enav yaseh. Sefer Shoftim is all about the lack of uniform and central leadership. That's what Sefer Shoftim is all about. So even though Megillat Rut is not in Sefer Shoftim, by starting Bimei Shvot HaShoftim, it wants to really bring you back to that time that we're talking about a lack of leadership, a lack of unity. And in the time of Shvot HaShoftim, there was a ra'av, there's a famine in the land. Vayelach ish mi Beit Lechem Yehuda, a man travels from Beit Lechem Yehuda, lagur b'Zdei Moav. He goes to Zdei Moav, him, his wife, and his two sons. Of course, we have to make reference back. Avraham, when there's a famine in the land, he goes down to Mitzrayim. Avraham goes down only when the Ra'av is Kaved. He takes his entire family with him. What does Elimelech do? He also takes his entire family with him. But we're already in a different part of Am Yisrael. We're in a different stage of Jewish history. When Avraham goes down to Mitzrayim, who does he take with him? His entire family, his entire entourage. He even takes Lot, he takes the extended group that he's with. When Elimelech is going down to Mitzrayim, to Moab, who is he taking with him? He's only taking his immediate nuclear family. Now what's fascinating about this is that Elimelech is really not acting as any kind of leader here. He only cares about his immediate family. When he goes down to Moab also, look at the language. He has no name. He doesn't have a name. His relatives don't have a name. It's just someone who goes down. Now, he's mentioned as an ish, a man, upstanding. Usually, that's the way we use this term in Tanakh. And vayelech ish mi Beit Lechem. If you were going to read this pasuk and you weren't really thinking, how could you also read this pasuk? Vayelech ish mi Beit Levi vayekach et bat Levi. Which means the beginning of Megillat Rut is really written as a foil to what? To Yiridat b'nei Yisrael and Mitzrayim and Levi marrying. Also in the beginning of Sefer Shmot, when we speak about the family of Moshe, what's missing? We don't have the names. Vayelech ish mi Beit Levi vayekach et bat Levi. We have the mother, we have the sister. There we don't have names, and what happens towards the end? What do all these individuals do? All these individuals work together in order to bring Geulah, in order to create the Goel. So what are we expecting here in Sefer Shoftim? Everything that's going to be done here, right, is going to be for what? In order to create the Goel. And yet we're disappointed. Because what doesn't Elimelech do? Elimelech does not live up to our expectations of being that image, of trying to create that kind of Geulah. We're left hanging. And what's fascinating is, if you really look at the Pesukim, which we're going to do now, it really is a foil to Sefer Shmot. Let's just go on. Pasuk Bet. V'shem ha'ish Elimelech, v'shem ishto Naomi, v'shem shnei banav Machlon v'chilion. We get their names, right? What do we know in Sefer Shmot? How does Sefer Shmot begin? Ve'ele Shmot b'nei Yisrael haba'im Mitzrayimah, right? All of b'nei Yisrael come down to Mitzrayim. But again, When we're talking about the national story, who goes down to Mitzrayim? Everybody goes down to Mitzrayim. In Sefer Bereshit, we already know, right, the 400 years Bnei Israel are destined, in a way, to go down to Mitzrayim. So they're fulfilling kind of a role of their destiny. But what do we know with Elimelech when he goes down to Moab? Is he fulfilling his destiny, or is he really going against his destiny? With Elimelech, he's going against his destiny. Because what do we know about our expectations of Shevet Yehuda already in Sefer Bereshit? What does it say about them? Lo yasur shevet mi Yehuda u'mechokek mi bein raglav. We know that Yehuda is supposed to be destined for greatness and leadership. And what are we disappointed in all of Sefer Yoshua and in all of Sefer Shoftim and in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel? What shevet never really steps up and to take a leadership position? That is Shevet Yehuda. And yet what is the hero's name in the beginning of Sefer Megillat Rut? Elimelech. What are we expecting from Elimelech? He has greatness. He has the potential to be king, which means his name, we know Shmo Gorem. We know very much in Tanakh, your name really tells all about you. Later on, clearly, we're going to learn about Orpah. And what do we know about Orpah? What does she do? What is her defining moment? When she turns away and turns back her neck. So Elimelech, we are expecting him to be king. That is his name, Elimelech. He's from Shevet Yehuda. He's from Beit Lechem Yehuda. He has all the right lineage, right? Yichus plays a role here, and yet he's disappointing us, right? He is not taking that stand. He is not really being a leader for Am Yisrael. He's not staying with Am Yisrael when there are difficulties, right? We know the famous Ramban that criticizes Avram Avinu when he goes down to Mitzrayim. But there, right, it wasn't that he wasn't a leader to the people around him. He didn't take responsibility for his co-religionists and his family. There, it's because he left Eretz Yisrael to go down to Mitzrayim. And this sets a pattern for all of Jewish history. So in a sense, Elimelech is really following whose footsteps? Is really following Avraham's footsteps. But what was Avraham able to do afterwards to come back to Eretz Yisrael? So even though with Elimelech, when he goes down to Mitzrayim, so what are we waiting with every single pasuk to Moab? What are we waiting with every single pasuk from Elimelech? To go back. Come back. Also, what do we know about leaders in Tanakh? Each one gets a chance to do a big mistake. And you do a big mistake, but what are we waiting? We're waiting for you to really do some kind of tikkun for it, to do some kind of tshuva for it. And yet, we're very disappointed in Elimelech. Vayamat Elimelech ish Naomi. He dies. But the way the psukim are written, first we're told about him, then we're told about his names, because the Tanakh is written in this way in order for you to wait. Every pasuk, he has a chance to turn back. He has a chance to do something. It's not an immediate onesh. It's not an immediate punishment that, he did this and right away he gets punished. We never have that in Tanakh. Always you do an avera, you do a chet, and you always have a chance to do some kind of tshuva. And what happens? We find here, Vayamat Elimelech ish Naomi, Vatisha'er hi ushnei banea. And she's left. And they get married. Vayisulahem nashim moaviot, Shema chat orpa, Vashema shenit rut. Right? They get married to Moavi women. One's name is Orpa, and one's name is Ruth. Again, what are we disappointed? They get married to the local women. In Mitzrayim, what's the whole point? That the Jews remained among themselves, right? They didn't intermarry. They kept their own identity. So right away, Elimelech goes down. He dies. His sons don't carry that kind of legacy. How do you act when you're in Galut? What kind of position do you take, right? And not only that, Vayishvu Sham Ke'eser Shanim. Again, what is the reference of Eser Shanim? Who stays Eser Shanim and then takes some kind of action? Avraham. Avraham is in Eretz Canaan, doesn't have children for 10 years. Then Sarah decides she's going to give Hagar to Avraham, right? You're going to take a stand. So again, we're waiting for them to do something positive. And Mahlon de Chilion disappoint us, which means we're not only disappointed with Elimelech, we're also disappointed with Mahlon de Chilion. They also should have taken a stand. They also should have done something. But who else are we disappointed in? We're disappointed in Naomi. Many times in Tanakh, what do we know about the Nashim? They give their opinion right away, and they don't let bad things happen. Which means, what are we expecting from Naomi right when they're going down to Moab? Or even before they go down to Moab? What should Naomi have said? Don't go down. And later, when the husband dies, who should have taken the leadership position? Naomi. She should have stepped up. Now, when the sons die, right, finally, who steps up? Naomi. So we have two different kind of women in Tanakh. We have the women who, right from the get-go, they are a firebrand. We have Miriam. Right from the beginning, she's the one who's doing all the activities. She's a child, and she already speaks her mind, and she takes control, and she does things. Dvorah. We have no prehistory of Dvorah. Right when we meet Dvorah, she's a shofetet. She steps up. She speaks her mind. We're going to see Avigail, which we're going to see one way or the other. Also, smart, pretty. She's the one who steps up and does something. On the other hand, we have Chana. What do we know about Chana? Her whole life in the beginning, she's passive, not one active verb about Chana. And who is she expecting to do everything for her and to change her life around? Elkanah. She's relying on Elkanah. Elkanah should be the davener. Elkanah should be the doer. Elkanah should be the korbanot. And finally, what happens when she realizes that Elkanah won't do it for her, right, won't really bring the results that she wants? Then, finally, she takes action. What do we know about Esther? For the four prakim in the beginning of Megillat Esther, what is Megillat? What is Esther? Passive, ein Esther magedet et amavet molada, kasher tziva alea Mordechai. Right, Esther does not say a word. So here we have also a great example in Tanakh of the Isha who you wait for all the men to do all their things, you wait till they step up. If they're not stepping up, then the women step up. So we have those two kind of Nashim in Tanakh. So in what category does Naomi fall? Clearly in category number two. Which means Naomi is looking for all the men around, right, Elimelech, Mahlon de Chilion, to really do the right thing. And when they don't do the right thing, then she steps in. And then she is the one who does something. So we really see, so on the one hand, it doesn't take away her responsibility, but we see this is a common thing that we see in Tanakh in general. But once it's her responsibility, we see that Naomi takes responsibility. What we're going to see is try to see what kind of responsibility does she take. After the sons die, she is bereft. Vatisha'er ha'isha mishnei yeladeo me'isha, pasuk vav, vatakam, hi v'chaloteha, vatashev mizdei mo'av, ki shama bizdei mo'av, ki fakad Hashem et amo latet lahem lachem. What I want to emphasize here, she gets up. So what are we expecting from Naomi? When she gets up at this point, what are we expecting? We expect her now to be a positive, active force. What do we see with Chana? The minute she sees that Elkanah is not taking charge, what do we see about Chana? Vatakam, vatochal, vatesht. She goes to daven, which means right away, once all the actions are not happening with Elkanah, Chana becomes the most active individual in Tanakh. Esther, once she sees that Mordechai is not acting, what do we see with Esther? She now gives all the tzivuyim. She tells Mordechai what to do. B'nai Israel have to fast for me. And then she goes through this whole litany of instructions for everyone else. And she starts setting up parties and she starts getting the ball rolling. What's fascinating about Naomi? The only thing Naomi does is she gets up and she goes back. And why is this? Ki pakad Hashem et amo. And again, instead of doing all the mare makamot, I'm going to give you the idea, and then we're going to see how it all fits in. The problem with Naomi is she sees ki pakad Hashem et amo. Hashem is remembering Am Yisrael, which means what is the problem with Elimelech, and what is the problem with leadership at this point? Who are they all waiting for to do things for them? Hashem. And we're going to see number two in the Gemara. Talmud Bavli Masechet Baba Batra. What is the discussion about Elimelech? Why was he punished? Why was he in Galut? That was his own choice. But how come he's killed? How come his sons die? How come he doesn't have, you know, this chance, or he had a chance to turn around, but when he doesn't, how come he gets such a severe punishment? Get a little punishment, but death for himself and his children? So the Gemara says, V'chem haya Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai omer, Elimelech machlon dechilion gudolei hador hayu, uparnesei hador hayu, umipnei mana enshu, why were they punished? Mipnei sheyatzu me'aretz l'chutz la'aretz. They left Eretz Yisrael to chutz la'aretz. Now we know Avraham did. Number two. So what we see here is they leave Eretz Yisrael. Is it just about leaving Eretz Yisrael? We see that everyone was asking them for tzedakah, and the rest of all the Gemaras deal with this issue. Everyone was asking them for tzedakah. There was a ra'av, there was a famine. Elimelech was a gadolah, the parnas hador. He was responsible for everyone else. He had a lot of money. But instead of giving tzedakah when the going got rough, what did he do? He decided, I need all my money for myself. I'm going to go to Chutz La'aretz. I'll wait till this passes. When Hashem remembers Am Yisrael and they're all doing well, then I'll come back. Because then I'll stay with my monetary collection intact. But it doesn't work that way. Because we know in Shmot Kafbet, Kol yatom va'almana lo ta'anun, v'harakti etchem b'cherev, v'hayu neshechem almanot uvneichem yatomim. In Shmot Kafbet, what do we see? If you don't give tzedakah, you don't take care of the yatom and almana, what's going to happen to you? You will become yatom and alman, which means you will be bereft, which means you have a responsibility for others. What we see about Elimelech, and what is leadership all about? It's about the responsibility for others. Achrayut lazulat. And Elimelech just cares about himself. He just cares about his immediate family. And that's one of the biggest problems. And not only does Elimelech just care about his immediate family, when there's a problem, he runs away. And a melech, or a leader, is not allowed to run away in a time of crisis. And if you run away in a time of crisis, which we'll see Yehuda does as well, somehow you have to find your way back. And what doesn't Elimelech do? He doesn't find his way back. Machlon v'Chilion, we have 10 years. They also don't find their way back. And what's fascinating about Naomi, when she finds her way back, what is she saying? Pakad Hashem et Amo. What is the lesson that Naomi is going to have to learn? Responsibility for others. What is going to be the lesson that Shevet Yehuda here is going to have to learn? And that's going to be responsibility for others. And we're going to see in the Psukim how it's written, which means what is going to be the re-education, right, of Shevet Yehuda within the Sefer, and that's what Megillat Rut is all about. So we're going to see that again. There are many different things Megillat Rut is about. It's about Chesed, it's about other things, but for our shiur today, this is what we're going to focus on. So let's go now to number 5 first. Vateitze min ha-makom, right? Now Naomi leaves with everybody else. We're continuing in the Psukim, right? Naomi leaves with everybody else. She leaves with Ruth, she leaves with Orpah, and they're going Lashuv el Eretz Yehuda, right? Pasuk Tedvav. Vatomer hinei shava yivim tech. Who decides to cry and leave, right? Orpah and Ruth have a decision to make. They both cry, and what happens? Again, we'll go Yudalit first. Vatishak Orpah lachamota. Orpah kisses her mother-in-law and leaves. Verut davkaba, but Ruth cleaves onto Naomi. And Ruth decides that she's going to stay with Naomi. But what is the language that we keep on using here, right? Vatelachna baderech lashuv el Eretz Yehuda. They're going back to Eretz Yehuda. And what does Naomi say to Ruth? Look, your kala, Orpah, went back to where she came from. Which means when Naomi is using the word lashuv, what does she mean? Go back to your original state. What was the original state of Naomi, right? They were in Eretz Yisrael. They didn't help anybody else. So Naomi wants to go back to the status quo. Orpah goes back to the status quo. And what we're going to see about a leader is you can't go back to the status quo. You have to put yourself out. You have to go that extra step. So we have two ways that we use the word lashuv. Lashuv b'tshuva means what? Going back to your original, what should have been your original origins, but you're making a huge transformation to become someone else, right? Or to become the best one that you could be. But here the word lashuv is used negatively. Going back to where you were. Retrogressing. This is going back literally and going backwards. And what we're going to see, the whole idea of Ruth is about going forward. We couldn't fall. We didn't find it with Elimelech. What should Naomi have done for Elimelech? Push him forward. What's the whole point of Nashim Batanach? Right? Push the leaders forward. Either they themselves act, or when they're involved with other individuals, they're the ones who convince them to really move ahead. But Naomi's not doing that. So who is going to be the one now to move everyone ahead? It's not Naomi. She doesn't fulfill a responsibility. We're going to see that it's Ruth. And that's the way the Megillah is written. If you look very carefully, let's look at Pasuk Yudchet. What does Ruth want to do? Vatereki mitametzet hi lalechet, right? Ruth is mitametzet lalechet. She wants to go forward. And when they come to the city, everyone asks them, is this Naomi? They can't believe it's Naomi. So what are they doing? They're going back. And everyone asks about Naomi. And what does she say about herself? Does she say, I came back to start a new beginning? I came back because I realized I made a mistake, and now is my chance to really do tshuva for it, to do a tikkun, to really move ahead, to forge ahead? No. What does Naomi say? She says, Al tikre'en ali Naomi. We're in Pasukaf, in number 5. She says, Kir'en ali mara, ki heimar shaddai li ma'od. What else does she say? Anim le'a halachti v'rekam heshivani Hashem. Lama tikre'ena li Naomi? V'Hashem he nabi. V'shaddai he rabi. What does she mean? Hirali. What does she mean? Whose fault is everything that happened to me? Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, on one level, that's beautiful. What do we have to always realize in life? Tziduk Hadin. Everything really comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But what's the other side of this? What's the other side of this? Hashem brings the Ra'av. But what are we expecting from Elimelech? To do something. What is Naomi showing us by all these things? And she's reiterating it over and over. That's redundant. She's reiterating it. What's the meaning? She is emphasizing, it's not my fault. It's not me. It's all from Hashem. And what's our problem with leadership? Of course a leader has to realize that, of course, everything's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But why are you a leader? Why are you here? Because you have to take that step and you have to act, do your hishtadlut in this world in order to affect Yad Hashem. And what Shevet Yehuda and what the leaders here are missing and what Naomi is missing is that it takes that element. And that's why when it says, look at Pasuk Kafbet, Vateshev Naomi Veruta Moaviyah Kalata, again, it's not about going back, they're sitting, it means she's stagnant. They're sitting and they're waiting. And what are they waiting for? They're just sitting there, Bitchilat Ktsir Soorim, and what are they waiting for? Other people to do things. And now how are the other people reacting? What would you expect at this point? Everyone should give them fruit baskets. Everyone should give them wheat. Everyone should give them challahs. Everyone should take care of them. Here she comes back. What's the job of all the neighbors? To give them. What do we know in Perek Bet? Who do we know they have a relative? Boaz. What are we expecting from Boaz? Send them care packages. Send them tzedakah. Give them something. He doesn't send them anything. Which means they come back. They didn't fulfill their responsibility. But what do we see about Am Yisrael? They're not fulfilling their responsibility either. But when it says Vateshev, that she's sitting there, it's not that she came back and she's establishing herself. It's she's sitting, she's stagnant. And where do we have that word again? We have that earlier with Breshit, with Hagar. What do we know with Hagar? When Yishmael becomes sick, what does she do? Vatashlecha tayelad tachad achar hasichim, vatashev la mineget harchek mitachavei hakeshet. How far does she sit? As far as you could shoot an arrow. Yishmael needs her. Where is she? She's far away. What is she doing? Vateshev la mineged. She's just sitting there. She's crying, but what is she saying? Al ereh b'mot hayeled. I don't want to see the child die. So what is she assuming? Yishmael is going to die. What is Naomi assuming? And why is she coming back? She wants to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. She wants to be buried in Eretz Yehuda. She just wants to come back full circle to where she started. But she's not coming back to move ahead. And yet, what is Ruth's attitude? That's why Ruth is so fascinating in Megillat Ruth and the way it's written. Her job is really to move ahead. So in Perek Bet, right, in Pasuk Aleph, Ulu Naomi Mudali Isha Ish Gibor Chayil. Right, Boaz, he's another Gibor Chayil. He's like Elimelech. What are we expecting from him? Right, we expect him to step up, to do something for them. And Ruth HaMoaviyah says in Naomi, Elchana Hasadeh Ve'elaktaba Shibolim. Who's saying, I'm going to go, I'm going to collect, I'm going to do something? It's Ruth, which means Naomi doesn't take an active role here, but it is Ruth who takes the active role. And not only does she take the active role, she says, Asher Tzachen Be'enav. Not only does she want to collect food, she wants to find favor in the eyes of Boaz. And what does Naomi say? Lichi biti, okay, you can go. And look at Pasuk Gimel. Vatelech, vatavo, vatilaket. Again, always in Tanakh, when you have the three active verbs together, that is a turning point. That shows that the individual is really turning a leaf, but also represents the active individual. We don't have that with Naomi. She goes back, she walks a little, she stays. But with Ruth, we see, vatelech, vatavo, vatelaket. She goes, she comes, and she's collecting, which means she is now taking this kind of responsibility. And not only that, vayiker mikre, just so happens she comes to the field of Elimelech. Which means, Rashi explains, it just so happens she comes to the field of Elimelech. Which means she was planning to go to Elimelech's field, but no one's speaking to her. No one's telling her directions. So Hashem wants to make sure she hits the field of Elimelech, right, of Boaz, right off the bat. So what's our expectation? What should Boaz do the minute he sees Ruth, who comes into the field? And what do we know about Ruth and about Boaz? Pasuk Yud Aleph, he knows who she is. He praises her, that she's just like Avram Avinu, who left his house, who left his country, and comes to a new place. And yet, what does he say? Pasuk Yud Bet. Perek Bet, Pasuk Yud Bet. What does he say? Yishalem Hashem po'alech, utehi maskuratech shlema me'im Hashem. So too Boaz. What's our problem with Boaz? Who is he expecting to change everything for Ruth and Naomi? Hashem. Hashem should pay you back. Hashem should do things for you. And what does he give her? He gives her permission to collect in the field, go after the boys. Maybe she'll find a good shidduch. She'll go after the boys, and that will be her future. But who is not taking responsibility? What should Boaz do? Send them back with a care package. Send them back with some shibolim. She has to collect in the field. Who really is giving the leket shikcha and peah? It's from Hashem, right? This is a mitzvah that you have to do. You don't have a choice. So again, we are waiting for our Kodesh Baruch Hu to take care of these individuals. Boaz is not stepping up, and that's why it's fascinating that we have this midrash. Now go back to number three. I thought I skipped it. Now let's go back to number three. In Masechet Baba Batra, Daf Tzadik Alek Amud Aleph, what does it say? Amarava Barav Huna Amarav, Iftzan Ze Boaz. We know that one of the Shoftim is Iftzan Mi Beit Lechem. So we do have someone mentioned in Sefer Shoftim from Shevet Yehuda. It's Iftzan Mi Beit Lechem. What's the only thing it tells us about him? Look at the Pasuk that's quoted, Shneemar, Shoftim Yudbet, Vayhi lo shloshim banim, ushloshim banot shilach achutza, ushloshim banot hevi lebanav min achutz, vayishpot et Yisrael sheva shanim. He has many children, and he married the children and the daughters, and they're all getting married. And according to the Midrash, he's making many parties. Look at the continuation. He's making many parties in his father's house, in the in-law's house, but in all those parties, he doesn't invite Manoach. Manoach, we all know, is the father of Shimshon. What's the point? Even Boaz, who's supposed to be the Shofet Iftzan, according to the Midrash, right? Everyone has nicknames, according to the Midrash, Shifrapur, Yocheved Miriam. What is Iftzan? Iftzan, Abba, Av. We expect him also, just like Elimelech, to be responsible. But he only cares about his family. He only cares about the immediate circle. That was Elimelech's problem. So again, the Midrash wants to show a correlation between Elimelech and between Boaz. Who is going to teach Boaz? Boaz has potential. What does Boaz mean? Boaz. He has that strength inside. But who is going to actualize it and realize it? Someone has to really bring it out in you. And who is going to do that? Clearly it's going to be Ruth. Who should it have been? It really should have been Naomi on one sense. But she doesn't really fulfill this potential. It is Ruth. So what is happening with Ruth? So let's go back now. Pasuk Gimel. We're in number 7, Pasuk Gimel. What does he tell her? He tells her, Hashem should pay you back. Hashem should pay you back. It's Hashem's responsibility. And Pasuk Yud Gimel, what is she saying? Vatomer emtzachen be'enecha, Adoni, ki nichamtani, v'ki dibarta alef shifatcha. You're giving me nechama, you're talking. What do you do a lot of? What can you do well? Talking. You give me a lot of brachas, you're talking, but I'm not looking for that. Right? V'anochi lo yekechat shifchatecha. Don't give me those platitudes like you're giving everybody else. Which means that's the problem here in Yehuda. That's the problem with Shevet Yehuda. You're all saying the right things. You know the right things, but no one's doing the right things. And still, again, because we have that Mars and Venus thing, right? She's being subtle, right? She's saying, don't talk so much. What should she's really telling him what to do, but she can't do that yet, you know? So she's trying to say for it to be his initiative, right? So she's hinting to him. And so what does he do? Okay, follow the males, follow the boys in the field, eat with them, and maybe you'll find the shidduch. Again, what is Boaz saying? It's not my responsibility. Someone else will take care of this. And as a result, right, at the end of Perek Bet, in number 8, and now we see in number 9, right, it's going on for Ktzir Sorim and Ktzir Chitim. We're talking months and months and months, and Boaz is not getting the subtle message, right? So we have to go to Plan B. What's Plan B? And that's in Ruth Perek Gimel. In Plan B, what happens? Vatomer la Naomi chamota, biti, halo vakesh lach manoach asher yitav lach. Again, in another shiur, we're going to emphasize different things, but for today, Naomi is finally at least turning around. She's starting at least to make ideas. She's having plans. She has initiative. In the beginning, who did all the initiative? Rut. Now all of a sudden we see that Naomi is also taking part in the initiative. And she says, Pasuk Bet, Va'ata halo Boaz modatenu. Boaz is our relative. What do we know in Perek Bet already? What did Ruth already say and why is she going to his field? She knows this. But that's the beauty of how Megillat Ruth is written. What's happening now? Naomi is awakening. Meaning Ruth was the catalyst for Naomi's rejuvenation here. And when she speaks, look at Pasuk Gimel, when she speaks to her, we see that the Kri and the Chtiv is different. She's saying you should go down to the Goren, you should take care of everything, but how is the Chtiv? I should be going down. It really should be me. Which means, on the one hand, she's saying, I should really be active. I should really be going down and doing this. But on the other hand, who has really set the tone and was the active one? It was Ruth. But look what she tells her. She tells her, go down into the Goren, and this is just so great. Pasuk Dalet, right? Vayhi b'shofo, know where he's staying. You come and meet him. V'hu yagid lach asher ta'asin. What is Naomi still expecting? That when Ruth approaches Boaz and the Gorin, what will he know? He'll know what to do just by being there. What does Ruth know? No way, right? But she says everything. She says, okay, Vateret HaGorin, Vatas Kechol Asher Tziftach HaMotah. She's just going to show, okay, will he get this message? This is a little stronger message than the message before. And what happens? Pasuk Tet, she comes. Pasuk Tet, Vayomer Miat, who are you? Right? Vatomer, okay, I'm spelling it out for you now. And that's what's fascinating, which means what's beautiful about Megillat Rut, it's all about subtlety. The biggest subtlety, right? You want to give people hints because you want the other individual to make that decision on their own. You want them to really realize things and that they will really come to certain realizations. But sometimes people are so deep into something, they can't. But the first step always is to try to hint to them that they can really come to it on their own, because that really makes it their own more. But at this point, what did Naomi tell her? Just go there and Boaz will know what to do. And she comes and says, Miat. Okay, so what do you want from me? Who are you? He knows who she is. What do you want from me? Who are you? What are you stating here? And she says, Vatomer, Anochi Rut Amatecha, Uparasta Knafecha al Amatecha, Kigoel Ata. You have to put your wings over me. What did he give her bracha earlier? Hashem Yifros Knafav. She's saying, no, you have to do it. And not only that, Kigoel Ata. It's your job to be the Goel. Don't leave it for someone else. Don't just talk. You are the one that has to be the Goel. And what does he do? Ah, brucha lach at Hashem. Right? He gives her a bracha. And he taft chasdech acharon min harishon. Right? He didn't go after any of the young boys. And what does he do? He says, Yud Aleph, v'ata biti al tiri, asher tomri e'eselach. Who's calling the shots now? Ruth. Whatever you say, I will do. Just like we had the turnaround with Esther, Kasher Tzivta, right? She's giving the Tzivuyim. Here we see with Ruth. Now it's Ruth telling Boaz what to do, because everyone knows that you're an Eshet Chayil. And what does he finally do for her? Tetvav. What is the symbol that he's now going to take responsibility? The symbol is, Pasuk Tetvav, Vayomer Havi HaMitpachat. Give me the Mitpachat, and what am I going to give you? Shesh Seorim. Vayeshet Aleha Vayavo Ha'ir. What does he finally do in the Goren? What should he have done from the first day she came to visit? He should have given her those Seorim in order for her to go back to her mother-in-law. Instead, he said, go collect in the field. She collected in the field. Finally, what does he realize? Why is that such a powerful symbol? When he gives her just Shesh Seorim, that's not so much, right? But why is that so powerful? Because that's so symbolic. I am taking charge. I'm not just speaking, saying I'm going to take in charge, right? And I'm responsible. He gives her the Shesh Seorim, and after that, it's all uphill, right? We see that finally, what does he do, right? He tells her, Pasuk Yud Zayin, right? Bring this to your mother-in-law. And when she brings it to the mother-in-law, what does she say in Pasuk Yud Zayin? Here are the Shesh Seorim, because what did Boaz say? Al Tavoi Rekam El Chamotech. Don't come empty-handed to your mother-in-law. How was she coming every day to her mother-in-law from Boaz? Empty-handed. He wasn't giving it to her. And you could say, oh, it's so nice. He wanted to give her bakavot. She should collect for herself. It should be her own thing. But from Boaz's point of view, he wasn't fulfilling his obligation. What's our criticism of the Nisi'im when we were building the Mishkan? What did they say? Bnei Israel should give the tzedakah, everything, and we'll fill in whatever they're missing in the end. And what happened? They lost out because Bnei Israel was so eager. Don't give someone else to do your responsibility. And that's what Boaz is pretty much doing. So what is what put him on the spot? Parasta knafecha, goel ata. You have to give the shesh sorim, and then he finally realizes. And from this moment on, what do we see that Boaz is doing? He's going. He's speaking to the other goel. The other goel doesn't want to fulfill his obligation, and that's the whole fascinating thing about it. The other goel doesn't want, because it's going to destroy his nachala. Who takes responsibility? Boaz. He marries her, takes her into the family, and Boaz is a complete turnaround. Again, as the Midrash said, he didn't even care about anyone else. Now we see he's really reaching out to Ruth. And the language in the Megillah is very clear, right? He goes, I didn't give you all these Sukim, he takes totally an active, and he makes sure, I'm going to make sure this happens today. And he goes and takes a few days, right? But finally, they come through. And Pasuk Yud Aleph, number 10. Kol ha'am say, right, ha'isha ba el beitcha ke Rachel v'leya, which means, what is Ruth? She's like Rachel v'leya, but even more so. Who is she like? She's like Tamar, right? She's like Tamar who built up Beit Peretz LeYehuda. She is the one who really turns things around. So as we see in the language in Megillat Ruth, Megillat Ruth, Ruth is the one who sets the tone. She is the one who steps forward. She is the one who turns all the others around. So now we're going to see, both in Bereshit and in Shmuel, do we see echoes of this? Or do we see in Megillat Ruth echoes of what we have in Bereshit? And what makes a leader? Is it about taking care of the other person? Is it about caring about family, but also the bigger family? Is it about really putting yourself out? Is it about taking responsibility? Is it the idea of making mistakes but being able to turn yourself around? So we see that clearly with Bereshit as well. And Bereshit we're going to do just a little differently, because here we have two individuals who really play off each other. We're in number 11. We see with Reuven and Yehuda, when we have Yosef come and they decide what are they going to do with Yosef, we have number 11 and we're in Pasukaf. They decide they're going to kill Yosef, right? And they're going to say, "Hav nireh mayu chalamotav." So what does Reuven say? Pasuk Kaf Aleph. Vayishma Reuven, vayitzileu miyudam. Reuven hears this. Vayomer lo nakenu nafesh. We're not going to kill him. How is he speaking about his own brother? We're not going to kill a human being. Which means when Reuven speaks about Yosef, he is an individual. He's a human just like everybody else. Okay, that's nice, right? And he says, no, we're not going to kill him. Let's put him in the boar. Laman hatzil oto miyadam lahashivo El Aviv. He wants to return Yosef to his father. So what is Yehuda focused on? We don't want to kill Yosef because he's a human being. And what is Yehuda only caring about?
Reuven,
excuse me. What is Reuven only caring about? You're all listening, that's good. What is Reuven only caring about? He wants to return Yosef to his father, right? Because what is so important to Reuven, right? His relationship with his father, right? What is lacking in Reuven here? His relationship to his brothers. He doesn't speak about Yosef as a brother. He's a human being, right? But he cares what's happening with his relationship to his father. Look at the other situation. We're in Pasuk Kavav, when Yehuda has a suggestion. Vayomer Yehuda el Echav, ma betza ki narog et achinu v'chisinu et damo. When Yehuda speaks about Yosef, how does he speak about him? As a brother. Even though he has a little bit of a nefarious plan to sell him, the idea is that he speaks about him as his brother. And not only that, he says, let's sell him to the Ishmaelim. Why? Ki achinu psareinuhu. He is one of us, which means we don't want to kill him, but not because it's not ethical or moral so much, but we're going to sell him because we don't want to kill him, but he's our brother. Which means there's something about that idea that Yehuda understands what responsibility is and brotherhood is, even though he doesn't have the right concept of it, which really shows us something about the potential in Yehuda. And what we find later on is, in this pasuk, Vayishma'u Echav. Why do the brothers listen to that? Why do they hear that? When Reuven speaks, it doesn't say everyone listens, right? But when Yehuda speaks, everyone listens. Because he has the ability to touch the other person, to speak in a way where the other person really listens and really incorporates this message. And that's really one of the major things of a leader, which means how do you speak that other people will listen? How do you have a certain empathy towards other people? But what is Yehuda missing a little here? That quality of empathy, which means he doesn't feel enough for Yosef to save him completely. But he has this idea of family. He has this concept of family. And what's fascinating is that Rashi also wants to emphasize this idea. Leman hatzilato, we're in number 12. Ruach HaKodesh mi'idal Reuven shlo amar zot ela lahatzilato. Meaning, he wants to save Yosef, right? Because he doesn't want him to be killed. So it's a good thing, right? Which means he doesn't want to kill Yosef. And also, ani habechor v'gadol shebekulam v'lo yitaleh hasirachon elabi. What does Reuven realize? When he speaks, he realizes that he's responsible. Which means it's not like Elimelech, who doesn't want to take responsibility. What do we see with Reuven? He knows he's bechor, he wants to take responsibility, he wants to do the right thing. But he doesn't do it in the right way. What's fascinating here is the idea of knowing the idea of leadership, but not being able to fulfill it or to actualize it. What's our problem with Shaul later on in Tanakh? Shaul also doesn't know how to actualize Melech. He's appointed, he's anointed, but he doesn't make the right decisions in the clutch decision, which means he doesn't make that choice. But what do we always say about a leader? You always have a chance to redress the sins that you have done. What's Yehuda's mistake here? That he sells Yosef. And what happens? Look at in number 15. Vayhi ba'etahi vayered Yehuda me'etechav. After mechirat Yosef, what happens to Yehuda? Vayered Yehuda me'etechav. He separates from his brothers. Rashi explains, according to the Bamid Bereshit Rabbah, that Echav horiduhu migdulato. They said, you were a leader, you spoke. If you would have told us to save him, we would have saved him. So Yehuda was disenfranchised from his brothers. So what's he going to do with that? And Yehuda falls into the abyss, just like Elimelech goes out of town and doesn't want to take responsibility and gets stuck in Chutz La'aretz, so too Yehuda does. Yehuda goes down from his brothers, he stays in Chutz La'aretz, right? He marries Bathsheba, he has two children, the two children are married off, the children also don't learn responsibility. I hope you understand the connection here. Yehuda, Elimelech, Mahlon, Vichilion, Erva, Onan, right? So what do we know about Yehuda? We did it forward, back, forwards, right? What do we see with Elimelech? Elimelech could have looked back to the story of Yehuda and said what? Even if you make a mistake, you can always pull yourself up. Here, right, this is the first time with Yehuda, but we see in Tanakh he has a chance, right? Yehuda goes down, Erva Onan, right? He's totally disillusioned. He's at the abyss. And what happens here? How is he going to get pulled out, right? Again, lack of responsibility. What should he do with Tamar? He should give her to child number three, to Shelah. But he doesn't do that, which means Yehuda had good potential, spoke, had charisma, brothers were listening to him. But once he really failed, so he now spirals downward. And he spirals downward so deep that he has two sons who die because they don't do the right thing. He has his other daughter-in-law. He doesn't want to do the right thing with the daughter-in-law. So again, as we saw with Ruth, but Tamar is the first in this case, right? She takes charge. And what does she do? She is sitting on the crossroads, right? And Yehuda meets up with her. He gives her the three symbols. 3 months later, we find out that she's expecting. And what happens here in the famous moment? And look at Pasuk Kafhei, right? Sorry, let's do Pasuk Yudalid. She takes off her widow clothes. She covers herself with a tsa'if, with a scarf, right? She sits bepetach einayim because she saw that Shelah grew up, v'hi lo nitna lo li'isha, which means Yehuda didn't do the right thing by giving Tamar to Shelah, which means who's at fault here? Yehuda. He doesn't do the right thing. So what is Tamar doing? She's going to encourage Yehuda to do the right thing. When she's pregnant, after 3 months, everyone tells Yehuda, Zanta Tamar Kalatecha, she's pregnant, and Yehuda says she should be taken out and burnt. When they take her out to be burnt, right, they send her to the father-in-law, and again, you understand Megillat Ruth, mother-in-law, daughter-in-law, father-in-law, daughter-in-law, and he says, whoever, you know, owns these three things, right, he's responsible. Hakerna, do you recognize? This is a classic thing, right? She says, do you recognize these three items, right? And clearly he has a choice. Is he going to admit it or not? So what happens, right? Vayaker Yehuda. Yehuda recognizes these three items. Why is Vayaker so important to us? Why is the fact that he recognizes these three items so important? Because again, what did he say when they brought the Ketonet Pasim? Haker naim Ketonet Binchahi Imlo. Do you recognize these items? Now again, she just shows him the three items and he has to take a stand. He has a choice if to admit or not. The beauty of Yehuda, even though she puts him in a difficult situation, she still puts him in a situation where he has the ability to say yes or no. It's his word versus her word. And he decides, and he says, Tzadka mimeni, ki al ken lo netatiha l'shei labni. What Yehuda does here, classic, we all know this, right, is not only does he admit that these three items are his, right, he admits that Tamar is correct, and she's saying the right thing, and he knows the reason why it happened. What we never really see with Naomi or Boaz, right, is that they ever admit this lack of responsibility. But they really do the right thing. The fascinating thing with Yehuda here is that he actually admits. And that's one of the ideas of the Malchut and the leadership. But what we want to emphasize here is that who really brings him to this point? Because he's spiraling downward. The only one who really is able to bring him out is Tamar. But how do you have to do it in Tanakh? Right? You have to bring something to a head that the other person does something or admits, right, that they were wrong. I mean, there has to be a real turnaround. It's not just tochacha. Right? It has to be in a situation where the other person has certain choices and they choose to go in a certain direction. And finally, right, she has Peretz. And what we see here, let me just get my right sheet, is the idea in the brachot, which means, again, comparing and contrasting Reuven and Yehuda. What does Reuven do? He acts. He acts quickly, right? He's the one who moved the beds with Bilhah. He brings the Dudaim. He knows what it is to be leader. But when they come down and they have to bring Binyamin down to Mitzrayim, what does Reuven say? Kill my two sons, right, if I don't bring back Binyamin. And what happens with Yudah? Yudah says no. He waits for the right time. He says, I will take responsibility, right? I am a responsible person. I learned what responsibility is about. And then we see that Yudah is the one who constantly steps forward. But again, where was the real turnaround? The turnaround was Tamar. And you can't work with someone who doesn't have the raw material. We see that Yudah has the abilities. He has Vayishma'u Achav. And instead of going downward, he moves up from these crisis situations. Elimelech did not learn from the crisis situation. What we see with Yehuda, he does learn from the crisis situation. Who doesn't learn from the crisis situation? Reuven. Reuven never transforms himself within that situation. He's constantly thinking, what will my father say? He doesn't think about leadership. And that's why with the brachot, what does Yaakov say to him? Reuven b'choriata, kochiv reishitoni, right? But in the end, pachas kamayim al totar, because you always acted impertinently and you always quick, you didn't really fulfill your goals. And yet, what do we see with Yehuda? What does it say with Yehuda? Gur Aryeh Yehuda, right? Miteref b'ni alita, we're on number 18. What's miteref b'ni alita? What is the lesson that Yaakov is giving to Yehuda? Miteref b'ni alita? Mitorfoshel Tamar Alita Vinitaleta, Mitorfoshel Yosef Alita Vinitaleta, number 19. Which means, what is the great thing about a leader? Why is he Yodua Chachecha? Why is he going to be leader? Because he had two crises, Mechirat Yosef and the issue with Tamar. And what was he able to do with that crisis? Alita Vinitaleta. If you have a crisis and you're able to learn from it and move ahead and be somebody, that is a great sign of a leadership, of a leader. And that's why Yehuda really has the leadership. It doesn't mean you can't sin. It doesn't mean you can't make a mistake, right? It doesn't mean that you can't sometimes have the wrong values at certain points. But when someone confronts you and you have the ability to turn around, if you don't turn around, then you are really left as someone who is a failure in a sense, as someone who did not fulfill their obligation. So we have Elimelech in one sense, we have Reuven on the other hand. And now I just want to do quickly, I know I have to do this one quickly, is the idea of Abigail. What's so special about the way Abigail confronts David? And I want to put it within the same rubric that we did before. We see Elimelech in crisis, we have Naomi Ruth, Boaz. We have Yehuda in crisis, and we have Tamar playing a very important role in his life. So as we have already seen, in every crisis situation where a leader can really go in a direction where he's lost forever, we see that the woman pushes him back on the right track just at the right moment. And we're going to see the same thing with David. What do we know about David? David was anointed. David is from Shevet Yehuda. Why am I picking all these individuals? Also, because these are all Shevet Yehuda. We could do it with other people in Tanakh. But what do we know about David? He's the one who steps up already. He was willing to fight against Goliath. What's the language that we use with Goliath? Look at number 22, right? At the end of Pasuk Mem, right? What does he tell Shaul? I killed the Ari, I killed the Dov. I'm really ready to kill Goliath. This is a religious war. And Vayigash el HaPlishti. What's the role of David here? Vayigash el HaPlishti. He's stepping forward. Of course, in whose way is he behaving, right? Yehuda, Vayigash elav Yehuda, right? He steps up. So we know David steps up, he goes forward, he fights against Goliath. Also we know, what does David do when Shaul is in the Ma'ara? He can kill Shaul any minute. Shaul is in the Ma'ara. What does David choose to do? He doesn't kill Shaul, right? He just cuts his knaf me'il, he cuts a little bit of his clothing, and he comes out of the Ma'ara, and they have this whole big conversation. What's their conversation? Look at the end of 23. Right? He says, you know, I could have killed you, David says to Shaul, but I didn't. And you know why? V'haya Hashem l'dayan, v'shafat b'ni u'b'necha, v'yarevet rivi, v'yishpateini mi'adecha. What is the real change that's going to be here? What did we say before? What should the leader always take? Responsibility. But what's the one thing we don't want leaders to take responsibility? It's not your job to kill other people who did wrong to you. In that sense, who really should take care of that? That should really be a Kodesh Baruch Hu, especially if it's another melech. What could David say? Shaul is a rodef, he's coming after me, I could kill him. But what is happening here with David? David says, who's really responsible here? And this is a correct decision. It's Hashem's job to take nikama from Shaul. Meaning, I should not be killing Shaul because he's running after me, even though I'm in the right, he's a rodef, But this should be Hashem. Hashem should be doing that. And what happens when David wants to get a present from Naval? When David wants to get a present from Naval, what happens? He sends messengers, and Naval says, I'm not going to give you anything. I'm not going to share my food and my drink and everything I worked hard to do. And what does David say? He says, I swear that I'm going to kill Naval and his family, and I'm not going to leave any male members. Who hears this? Abigail. And what does Abigail realize? Abigail realizes two things. Number one, she has to save her family, right? But the next thing, which is more important, what do we know about David? This is a crossroads in his manhigut. When you're killing Goliath, that's the true enemy of Am Yisrael. But if he's going to kill Naval, and if you look at number 25, Naval is from the Kalev family. He's from the Nachshon family. Really, Naval, who is Abigail's husband, is really a contender to the throne of David. And that's part of the reason why Naval does not like David. There's a whole shiur in itself, but I just want to give the main point that connects to us. So if David kills Naval, what is it going to look like? He didn't kill Shaul, contender for the crown. Also, if he kills Naval, what would it seem like? What does David do when he comes up with his comes across his enemies? He just kills them and gets rid of them, and that's the way he's getting the malchut. So what does Abigail tell him? And this is very important at this point. Abigail tells him that if you kill David, if you kill Naval at this point, right, everyone is going to look at you as if someone who is a killer, which means who should really be taking care of this? It should be Hashem. But David swore. All his men saw that he swore. How could he turn back on this? He swore he's going to kill Naval. He's macho. He's a man. They all decided. They had a Sanhedrin, according to the Midrash, get together. So is he going to turn back on what he said? What did we say is the great moment of a leader? When you can make that kind of decision, but you could pull back. Abigail tells him, if you kill Naval at this point, what's going to happen? You will be seen as someone who just is bloodthirsty. You are going to be seen as someone who takes the wrong choices in the wrong time. And if that happens, what are you going to become? You are going to become a leader who is going to be seen as Nokem Venoter. And that's not your job. That is really Hashem's job. What did David say? That's Hashem's job. So what we see here with Abigail, at the moment when David can make a fatal mistake, he can make this fatal mistake, kill Naval, and that will be on his permanent record, as we say. Right? If it's on his permanent record before he becomes Melech, then that will already set the tone for David. So Abigail says, don't do that. And what does he say to her? Bruchaat. What did Boaz say to Ruth? Bruchaat biti. What does David say? Bruchaat. Hashem sent you. The same exact language. Which means at this important moment, when David has a choice of killing Naval or not, Abigail steps in. Smart, beautiful woman who steps in and says, you can't do this. But instead of David saying, what do you know about this? I already swore, everyone's expecting me. He's able to say, you know what? You are right. And being able to turn back at that situation is momentous for David. And that's how he's able to become Melech. So again, we saw in all these three situations where we have this turning point of a leader. David has the potential. He has the right situation, right? He has all the charisma. He has the actions. But with one thing, he could lose everything. And what we see with Abigail is that she turns that around. So we see in all the really important places, at least in these three, with Malchut Bet David in Shevet Yehuda, we see in all the crucial crossroads, junctures in their lives, we have this idea of tshuva, this idea of turning around, this idea of realizing your mistakes, but clearly, who are the ones who really step up and make that happen? That is the Nashim, whether it's Ruth, whether it's Tamar, or whether it's Abigail. So again, we're going back to our original idea. Kotamar lebet Yaakov ve'taged libnei Israel. Just like we see in Tanakh, where we have the women making important decisions in crucial moments in Am Yisrael. Hopefully the men and the women can work together in order to make sure that we all come to the correct decisions and are able to celebrate total Kabbalat HaTorah in that way. Thank you very much.
Okay, we're going to go straight to the second speaker. Remember, just keep that in mind. Where we put the air conditioning on, so we're working on that. Feel free to use the restroom. We are going to start the second shiur right away. So if you don't need to use the restroom or don't need any refreshments, actually, no, we're